Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mr. Alexander, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Now, we're talking about managing difficult employees effectively, and it's a critical challenge. You know, those who are joining us, and you may want to know, what are we talking about? Of course, Sam joined us last weekend as we were addressing this subject, and we know that it's a critical challenge for leaders in any workplace. And of course, last week, Sam joined us to share strategies for dealing with negative behavior in the workplace. We focused on whether we have difficult employees or difficult managers, suggesting that perhaps the first step for any good leader should be introspection and open communication. He joins us again today to actually talk to us about that. Sam, did I recap and covered what you covered last week? Please do if I haven't.
Yeah, not exactly, but let me
cover it. All right.
Present some of the things that I presented.
Right, right.
One of the outstanding things I said was, many times we want to make a declaration that the client is first, the customer is king, and everything we do must indicate that we are moving in that direction. So remember, I turned it on its head, and I said, if we treated our staff, our employees, our people who are reporting to us, if we treat them like royalty, they will make the customer king.
That's
okay?
Powerful.
That's a point, for one of the outstanding points I made. And then the other thing, statement I made was, remember, a company is driven by values, okay? So every manager who employs people in the organization must lead them along the lines of values, so that they can understand that values actually define the ultimate outcome of the company. Okay, so values are important. And the other thing that's important is, if we treat our staff well, we're going to talk more about that today. But if we treat our staff like royalty, the customer becomes king. Okay. Then I mentioned what gets us into an organization, and what keeps us there. What sustains us there, and what causes us to succeed ultimately there. So we covered that. Okay, so you can proceed from that.
Lovely. I love that. Recap. Thank you so much. It gives us and our listeners, a great picture of where we're standing now. Why does a manager or an employer need to know how to manage a difficult employee? Why is this an important skill? Isn't it easier to just get rid of those who don't want to be managed?
Yeah, it is easier for managers who do not know how to manage. That's the easiest way. You can get rid of your problem, and then you can get ready to employ the next problem. And that's how it is. We must understand that people will be people, and they will remain people. And people need nurturing, and they need. Let's look at people coming into the organization.
Yeah.
Like a baby comes into the world. When the baby comes into the world, you don't treat the baby like a mature child. You nurture the child, you feed the child, you guide the child, you teach a child how to walk. All those things, once you incorporate them into your management style, and you treat the incoming employee like a child who needs guidance, you might end up with a better result. But what we do, we say to ourselves, you come in here, you come in with experience, you come in with education, you come in with a track record, and all we want you to do is to repeat that in the organization, not realizing that that new staff member in your company is a newborn member of the company. And you have to treat the child and nurture the person like a child.
I love that. You then literally take care as a person who's brand new, you've never met, and literally take them through every step of the way with patience. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Lovely.
You now, do that.
Yes. Now.
So remember when you have a child, and you even teach the child how to pronounce words, how to say things, how to respect the elderly. You take the child through that whole process.
Yeah.
Now it might seem that it's childish and you're treating big people like that. But generally people come in and most of them are well groomed, are well adjusted, and they are able to hold their own. But there are times when the manager or the leader has to take those staff members aside and say, now, how do I lead, guide, and nurture that person?
Very important indeed. Now, what is the connection between an employee's work engagement, dissatisfaction, and a difficult behavior? And how can a leader use this understanding to deal with negative behavior?
Well, I have a totally different view on that. I don't presume that the staff member has got difficult ways and difficult behavior. Why? When the staff member comes in, joins a company, I sit the staff member down and I say to the staff member, what are your values? Okay, the staff member says, I believe in being kind and courteous and fair and consistent. Yeah, fine. So I've got that. Now I, as the manager, take the young man, young lady, and I say to them, this is how the company operates. I teach the new intake what the values of the company are so that the person can understand you've come in with that. And you are now going to merge what you have with what we have. So when we prepare ourselves for difficult staff members, we're going to get difficult staff members. But in the event we have difficult staff members, because there are some people who will insist on their being difficult, and they will behave in a certain way to demonstrate that they don't just accept anything from any person. That can happen. So how do you do that, and how you change that? Because remember, you must begin by telling yourself, you're not going to win every battle.
That's true.
There are some battles that you have to say, maybe we must part company. But that's the last thing you say.
Yeah.
Because it costs money to bring a staff member in. Remember, your expense that you have with a new intake is equal to 6 months' salary of the new intake. A person becomes productive only after about 6 months, where the person understands everything about the business or most things about the business. So you got to take your time. So you have now discussed the values of the company. You have discussed the goals of the company. And you say to the person, this is your place in this sun. The company has this to offer, wants to do this with you, and can do that and achieve that when there is a modicum of interdependency with a company.
Mm, mm,
So now when you have difficulty with a staff member, you have to be equipped with what I call mediation skills. Many times we think that mediation in the organization has to do with harmonizing two people who are at variance with each other. Okay? And you say to yourself, this staff member is now at variance with management. How do you align the aspirations of the staff member with the final outcomes of ideal management? And we can talk about that, unless you have one or two other questions, we can get back to that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let me just ask you this one question and then we can come back to that. Now, I wanted just to know, how does a difficult employee then affect the rest of the team? And then we can come back to that.
All right. That's a good question. You must understand that a difficult employee has, when somebody has a negative view of the company, the research shows that person will tell 20 others and influence 20 others, both inside and outside the company, about the undesirability of working for that company. Remember, one unhappy person tells 20 others, okay? But a happy person will tell only eight others.
Ooh.
So you already see what? That there's a conflict between a happy employee and an unhappy employee.
Mm.
So now you got to say to yourself, how do I make sure that the stories, the information, the impressions of that negative person does not go as far as it should in the organization? So remember, the ultimate thing is, if it doesn't work out, you've got to find an elegant way of parting company. But that's number two. Number one is, how do we manage, massage, and deal with a staff member who has difficulty? Because remember, we have to be able to sit down and find out what makes a person unhappy. Number one, have an open ear. Listen to the person. Listen to his unhappiness and tell yourself, is there anything I can do to lighten the load of unhappiness in the staff member? Okay, that's the one thing I would do. Okay?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, so we can go back to the ones that you wanted to mention.
Yes. Let me just finish this point, and maybe I can get back to the others.
Yeah, yeah.
So the gift and the talent of a manager must to have an understanding of mediation skills. You begin to take the person from his level of unhappiness, find out what makes him unhappy. So remember, the first thing you ask such a person is, what is going wrong that causes you to be as unhappy as you are? So it's just the objective challenges that person has. Okay? Number two is, how is it making you feel? Okay, that's number two. When you've teased out all the things that the person feels about working in the team or with the manager, now you say to yourself, what would you like me to do to make you feel better? Okay, yeah, we're going somewhere here. Yeah? Mm-hmm. We're going somewhere, because the staff member sits there and tells himself, okay, this person is exposing the company to me. So you list the things that he or she wants you to do differently or better. Now comes the challenge.
Yes.
The fourth thing you ask is, what can you do to make it better? Then it becomes difficult. Because clearly, if you accept, okay, there are some things that we as the company or I as the manager can do to make it better, what can you do to make it better? Okay? Once you've gone to that fourth step, then you go to the fifth step, which says, how will it benefit you if the company changes? Number one. Number two, how will it benefit you if you change? You see, you've taken the person now down the journey from a place of unhappiness, understanding the unhappiness, not maybe able to explain it.
Mm.
Number two, what emotions does it evoke when you're unhappy?
Mm.
Okay. Number three, what would you like me to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number four, what can you do about it? Okay. The staff member generally does not expect that fourth question. Okay. And number five, how will it benefit you or the company if there are changes on both sides?
Mm. Lovely, beautiful. Now, there's a question that has come on the line, but let me just
yes.
read it for you. It says, in the days of social media, unhappy employees and customers are quick to broadcast it to the world, not just about 20 people, and you hardly see any posts of people celebrating their workplaces, even if they are actually content and happy. Oh, it's actually a comment today. It's not a question. What
yes,
is your view there?
It's a very good comment.
Mm.
Because remember, the media doesn't have a face, and it gives the person who posts that sometimes a face behind which to hide. But the fact is, there is a reality of these things coming out. Okay, so now I, as the manager, I look at these things and I see what the media produces: unhappy people, dissatisfied with salaries, dissatisfied with working conditions, dissatisfied with the leadership. Now you take those things and you take them to management and you say to the other managers, now we as managers, what are we going to do to change this? If it is a problem, number one, is it a problem? You take the managers through the same process of those five steps that I've just spoken to you about. Mm. Number one, what is happening?
Mm.
It appears on Facebook and in the media. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what? How does it make management feel?
Mm.
Okay? How does it make management feel? Because remember, management now cannot be leading a productive team because he also feels uncertain. Then the number three, what can we as management do to make it different? Okay? That's number three. Okay? And how can we help our staff to do different, to do better? What are the conditions that we can provide for people? So you must take yourself down the same rigors as you've taken your staff member, and you must be able to walk that journey. Then number five, what will be the benefit to the staff and to us? There are many good things that come out of disgruntled people.
Mm.
They are not only disgruntled, but they are. Remember, a staff member is not unhappy with the company. He is unhappy with his immediate manager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is the manager that determines the level of motivation or happiness levels of that staff member. So that's what we need to take into account. And you look each of those managers in the eye and you say to the managers, in which way can we make it better? In which way can we improve? And you must be very honest, because remember, among managers, because they occupy a power position, they believe, no, we've got nothing to do. We don't have to change at all. But you have to bring it to management's attention and say, guys, remember, we too are just human beings. We are fallible. We make mistakes. How can we look ourselves in the eye and say to ourselves, this is the areas in which we can improve? And you don't entertain for 1 minute what they should do. It is what I should do. Okay? I give you a statement that I made maybe 3 or 4 sessions ago that would help managers to rethink their position.
Yeah.
This is the statement. And people outside who are listening in, even my my interviewer, take notes of what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
It will help you to lead your life productively. It's coming now.
Yes.
If you do not have within you that which is above you, you will very soon become like those who are around you. I'll repeat it. If you do not have within you that which is above you, you will very soon become like those who are around you.
My goodness.
Take note of that.
That's powerful.
The manager, has a well of information inside of him, and he can stand out as a beacon of hope for the company. Even those staff members who are unhappy, the leadership, the manager has to be a living declaration of that statement, which I will repeat for the third time. If we do not have within us that which is above us, we will very soon become like those who are around us. I have a last statement to make to you. And you know, if there are any questions, it can follow.
Beautiful.
Remember.
Yes.
When the manager has an idea, has a vision, has a dream, has an expectation, the manager sits down and he thinks about that dream. Okay? He crafts it because he wants to be sure that it ends up in being to the benefit of the organization. So he crafts it. His dream must be crafted with passion, and it must cause an irresistible urge to act among those who hear his dream. Now, okay, so that's halfway.
Yeah.
It is stated graphically. It is crafted with passion, and it is imbued with irresistible urge to act. Now comes the question. Once you've done that, this is all that you've designed for yourself on a piece of paper. You've crafted it on a piece of paper or on your laptop.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the next thing you do, you go and you now share it with your team, including the 1 or 2 disgruntled people. Let them be part of the team. So you share it with them and you say, look, this is my idea. This is what I see for the business. This is what I see for the future. Next comes a very, very important point. You then say to them, any ideas that you have that you would like to add to, improve, or alter my idea. What do you achieve through that? Through that, this is what you achieve. You are making them buy into that vision, that dream. Why? Because they see themselves in it. I'll end with this story.
Yeah.
You are getting married, and in the good old days, have all these photographs of the wedding.
Yeah.
They're about to go into the wedding album, and your aunt comes to visit you after the wedding, and your aunt is there with his son and his daughter, and you say, aunt, have you seen the pictures? And she says, no. You hand them the picture, and they sit on a couch next to each other. She looks at the one picture, passes it on. The next picture, she looks and passes it on. The next picture, she looks and passes it on. The next picture, she looks and passes it on. The next picture, she holds. Yeah. And she looks. Why do you think she looks at that picture? I'm happy you asked.
Yeah. My goodness.
The reason she looks at that picture is because she is in that picture.
Ah, okay.
Now, the moral that it brings across is this. Don't sell me a dream or a goal if I am not in it. I must be in it to be offered.
Wow.
I must see myself. Now, how do I see myself in that thing? It's this way. Remember, I gave you a statement of how I would like to see changes.
Yes.
I say to you, do you have anything to add? The thing you add is you adding your picture in my vision.
Beautiful. Wow.
And if you see your picture in my vision, you will hold it and look at it and admire it.
Beautiful.
That's my story.
Beautiful stuff. It's a beautiful story. Man, Mr. Alexander, thank you so much for your time, and grateful to have had you here on the show. Fantastic, fantastic conversation. Beautiful. Thank you so, so much.
Bless you. Thank you very much indeed, sir.
God bless you. Thank you.
And do keep well.
Keep well too. Good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.